If there are no more questions, I think that we ought to proceed with the next speaker. We ran a little bit over on that one. It was a previous one, actually. In keeping with the pace that Dr. Shea set, I suppose I should come up with some witty introduction here, but I'll give it a little different shade or hue this time and introduce Hugh Scott for the landing dynamics discussion. And I won't take any more of his time.
Somehow in the last 2 days we got to the lunar surface and back without landing. So we're going to back up and pick up, continue from where Mr. Cheatham left us with the vehicle stayed at touchdown. And the purpose of this presentation then is to give a description of the landing system and to discuss the dynamics of the limb following initial impact, including the analysis work planned and accomplished to predict vehicle landing performance. The landing gear design, as you know, was initiated some time ago before current data such as Ranger and Severa flights were available. And the gear chosen for the contractor to begin gear design is summarized here, if I can find the button. What happened? The lunar model was a 6-degree general slope plus 2-foot depressions or protuberances, giving us a total effective slope of approximately 12 degrees. The lunar surface was considered to be infinitely rigid for shock absorber design and to exhibit a dynamic bearing strength of 12 psi for foot pad sizing. The velocity, attitude, and rate criteria was determined from the control system characteristics of a vertical velocity of 10 foot per second with a horizontal of 0, varying linearly down to a 7 foot per second vertical velocity with a horizontal velocity of 4 feet per second. Vehicle attitude is allowed to vary between plus or minus 6 degrees with rates up to 2 degrees per second. The sliding or shearing resistance of the foot pads on the surface was considered to vary as a friction coefficient, varying between 0.4 and 1.0, in addition to partial or full constraint of the foot pads. The landing weight was determined from the use of maximum and minimum expendable use from lunar orbit down to the touchdown point. The maximum weight is in general critical for energy absorption requirements, while the minimum landing weight, which also has the highest center of gravity position, is critical in general for stability requirements. The criteria also considers the possible crushing of the descent engine skirt extension in some landing conditions. The load stroke characteristics of that engine crushing was also included as a design requirement in the specification for the engine design. The gear resulting from this criteria then is referred to as a cantilever gear. It consists of 4 gear assemblies, each having a primary strut and 2 secondary struts. They're one right behind the other here. The primary strut has an inner and outer cylinder The footpad is at the lower extreme of the inner cylinder. The outer cylinder is connected through a ball joint at the top to the fixed outrigger support truss of the descent stage. The honeycomb cartridge shock absorber absorbs energy in compression of the primary strut at the load stroke values indicated at the top of the slide. The secondary struts are connected to the primary strut at the inner cylinder at a ball joint and through the deployment truss to the descent stage at the other end of the outer cylinder, and they absorb energy and tension or compression at the indicated load stroke values at the bottom of the figure. The foot pad design has sufficient strength and area for minimal impact penetration on lower bearing strength surfaces. The center of each foot pad is, or the radius of the gear is 167.57 inches from the limb center line. Now we would like to examine the performance of this gear design to the original criteria. To predict landing performance, considerable effort has been and continues to be expended in extensive landing dynamic analysis. Of prime concern in the development of this analysis was a realistic treatment of the step load stroke configuration shown in the articulating gear. In addition, the lunar surface properties were not well known, so the analysis had to accommodate a wide variety of surface conditions. Other factors treated in the analysis are the effect of engine skirt crushing, fuel slosh, reaction control, and engine thrust forces, and the logic required to account for the initiation of engine shutdown and thrust decay characteristics. Since purely symmetric landings appear unlikely, the effect of introducing asymmetric conditions into the initial conditions, such as flight path direction with respect to the lunar surface slope and yaw angle with respect to the flight path. The results of such a landing simulation include time histories of all the pertinent data, such as center of gravity, velocities, and accelerations, strut loads and strokes, and footpad positions. Another form of the simulation output is a movie generated by the computer output indicating the stroking of the struts, crushing of the descent engine skirt extension, and the motion of the vehicle resulting from the dynamics. That's illustrated on this short section of this form of output. This initial conditions, as you can see, are a little outside our design criteria. The time here is slowed down considerable for viewing. You can see the dynamics between the primary and secondary struts. That slope and depression is similar to our criteria of 6 degrees. That's a sort of real-time lunar gravity. I think that's probably enough of the movie there. The results, then, of such a landing simulation give us this set of boundaries of this gear design to our original criteria. The velocity envelope is flipped over about the vertical vertical velocity ordinate here just to indicate uphill and downhill, where in general our uphill landings are critical for stroking requirements on the secondaries, while the downhill landings in general indicated in this direction are more critical for stability and primary stroke. Next, we would like to examine the factors influencing the limb state at touchdown. Don touched on this briefly Saturday. We have the 53-inch surface probe sensors extending down from the bottom of the foot pads, which sense the lunar surface and provide an engine cutoff signal. Upon receipt of this signal, the astronaut manually terminates thrust. With this arrangement, then, we have two considerations to examine: the problem of terminating thrust too high, which would result in higher touchdown velocities from the free fall, or if the astronaut reacts slowly or delays too long in terminating thrust, we then might land with the descent engine thrusting. This figure shows the 99% probability curves from the simulations Mr. Cheatham described, where the predicted velocity at touchdown and the design velocity envelope. So we see that the touchdown velocities expected then do not, with this, these 99% expected envelope of velocities also include crew reaction time and system delays for terminating thrust. The other situation then is possibility of having the engine thrusting at touchdown. At touchdown, on a flat surface, the foot pads at touchdown allow approximately a 19-inch elevation of the exit plane of the engine skirt. To avoid violation of that engine skirt surface dimension, we have here on the left a plot of the descent velocities at probe contact when a 3.5 foot per second velocity is desired, and also the crew reaction time in seconds as a function of the probability from the simulation results. If we select a velocity of 5 feet per second at probe contact, we find that we have approximately a 97% probability that the velocity will be at or below 5 feet per second. For it physically to be possible for the engine to be thrusting at touchdown with those velocity conditions, the crew reaction time must be in excess of a half a second. If we look at a half-second reaction time, then we find that the probability of the crew exceeding a half a second is approximately 2%. Combining these, then, we come up with a fairly high probability of approximately 99.494, that the engine will be off at touchdown. Even with this remote probability of having the engine on at thrust down, it is still important to understand the conditions resulting from violating this 19-inch engine-to-surface dimension. To do this, we have two different analytical programs and an experimental program with Langley Research Center to investigate this engine-plume surface interaction area. The initial analytical and experimental programs should be completed in approximately September of this year, with more detailed analysis completing in about February of next year. We would now like to turn our attention to investigating landing performance on surfaces less rigid than our design model. determination of landing performance on soft surfaces relies heavily on a knowledge of the interaction forces of the landing gear foot pad with the surface as the pad penetrates the surface. The interaction forces and moments depend largely on the soil dynamics and the foot pad size and shape. Since soil dynamics in our lunar environment is relatively unexplored, a considerable amount of experimental and theoretical work has been initiated in this area. This work is aimed at determining foot pad soil interaction forces for a variety of soil failure modes and types. The necessary data from these programs should become available in approximately 6 months. In the meantime, we can examine the boundaries of such conditions through the use of a simplified theoretical soil foot pad interaction model. Experimental and theoretical interaction force models that have been developed to date usually are of the form expressed here, where the first two functions in the equation are concerned with the static bearing strength, and the last two terms are the dynamic penetration resistance. A is the area of the foot pad. The ground rules we use in this analysis are fairly self-explanatory here, except that the item of no lateral foot pad motion, the reason we do not allow lateral foot pad motion is to get conservative results by putting all the energy into vertical penetration of the material. The procedure we use for such an analysis is to choose the interaction model desired from the initial equation and then determine the bad stability penetration landings by simulating a series of initial conditions. A plot of how we accomplish this is shown here, where we've taken a particular set of conditions, computed the landing performance, and plotted them as a function of stability margin. Stability margin here is merely the distance in feet at the center of gravity of the vehicle, the nearest that it approaches a zero, which is a theoretical boundary at the balance point of the vehicle. It's a theoretical vertical plane between two foot pads. And therefore, we can determine the bad stability cases for various sets of initial conditions. Similar curves are being generated for various interaction force models, velocities, slopes, and yaw angles. Next, then, we would like to determine foot pad penetration versus slope for one of these interaction models. Shown here with slope vertical scale and penetration horizontally here, this penetration, as it is noted, includes a 2 foot initial depression in the surface. Shown here, then, this set of interaction models plotted here are the type K2 on our original equation, or where the force increases linearly with depth. Therefore, if we have a penetration or a soil model of the type of 5 psi per foot, we would require that the lunar surface for this set of values exhibit a strength of 5 psi per foot or less, not to violate the 44-inch penetration of the surface. And that's where our descent stage contacts the surface. Similar situation for the type of material which exhibits a constant bearing strength depth indicates that for approximately the same amount of penetration, we would like to have a soil of about 8 psi or greater, not to violate the penetration depth here. Combining these two, then, with the stability performance of the vehicle, we get a preliminary landing performance envelope on soft surfaces, which, as indicated here, gives us a roughly a 7-degree general surface slope plus the 2-foot initial depression for soils of the bearing strength of the type of 8 psi constant or 5 psi per foot. One thing is also worthy to note on here, on the 5 psi per foot type soil, we've added a small amount of dynamic penetration resistance term, and as you would expect, this decreases the amount of penetration considerably. This simplified theoretical saw foot pad interaction model is also useful to approximate landing performance on particular landing areas as more information becomes available, such as the recent Surveyor 1 site. The limited penetration of the Surveyor foot pad into the lunar surface leaves the soil properties open to a certain amount of interpretation. But as far as limb landing acceptability, we can bound the problem using the findings presented in the preliminary report of the Surface Mechanical Properties Working Group. This report suggests that the material in the area of the foot pads of the surveyor was approximately 5 psi. If we assume this material to be the type that varies linearly with depth, then the 5 psi at 2 inches could be approximated by a soil interaction model of 30 psi per foot, which on this set of curves here would be approximately the same as a rigid surface. If we take the conservative interaction model of 5 psi constant, then the limb for a 10 foot per second straight down landing would penetrate the surface approximately 8 inches of all 4 foot pads. If we introduce horizontal velocity and attitude and attitude rates, the penetration would increase to approximately 1.7 feet. Therefore, in conclusion then, the limb landing performance meets the original specification design criteria from these landing simulation analysis. The probe surface sensor allows manual engine cutoff consistent with the touchdown velocities and engine operation height above the surface. Study is continuing to determine the minimum engine operation height above the surface. Landing performance on soft surfaces relies heavily on the soil foot pad interaction forces, and experimental work is underway to determine the interaction forces for several soil types. Preliminary data based on these theoretical interaction forces indicate that the limb can land safely on a slope of about 7 degrees plus the 2-foot depression if the soil strength is 5 psi per foot or 8 psi constant. This amounts to a total effective slope of approximately 12 or 13 degrees. And the limb landing on a Surveyor 1 site should provide safe landing.
Thank you. Any comments or discussion? Yes.
The question was, is it possible for the limb to come to rest on 3 of the 4 foot pads? And it is. Some of the simulation results show that if the CG is forward of, say, the 2 mid-gears, you will come to rest with the one of the foot pads, either because of the topography, a slope, or depressions off the surface.
Ben?
The question was
if you assume 7 vertical, 4 horizontal, 12-degree effective slope, do we know what coefficient of friction is required to overturn the vehicle?
The performance boundaries we showed in about the third slide there, for that we used full constraint, that is, infinite coefficient of friction, and it did not turn over at those velocities. I forget the numbers where it does right off. It depends on a lot of other initial conditions. Okay.
Anyone else? All right. We then are ready to break for lunch. We reconvene. Let's shoot for reconvening at 2 o'clock. We talk mostly about the lighting constraint, which I think is of some interest at 2 o'clock, and then the actual selection of sites and the criteria, therefore, thereto appertaining. And as I said, I hope we're going to be done by 4 o'clock.
Do we have any parking for 60 engagements?